island, to this earth even. It's far beyond us, and we can come with praise in our hearts and wake up to him. I'm ready, God, so ready. Ready from head to toe, ready to sing, ready to raise a tune. Wake up, soul. Wake up, heart. Wake up, lute. Wake up, you sleepy sun. I'm thanking you, God, out loud in the street, singing your praises in town and country. The deeper your love, the higher it goes. Every cloud is a flag to your faithfulness. Soar high in the skies, O God. Cover the whole earth with your glory. So raise your voice with our beautiful earth and with one another tonight. Feel free to rise as we sing together.
Yeah. shout for joy. In the congregation, I worship God.
Worship God
all my days. Those who love the Lord are satisfied. Those who trust in Him are justified.
I will serve my God. Serve my God.
The word of the Lord will stand.
They rise and fall,
but His love will endure.
Though the strong may stumble, the joy of the Lord is strength
to my soul.
I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. I will not.
To the nations, I will shout for joy in the congregation. I will
worship God
all my days. Those who love the Lord are satisfied. Those who trust in Him are justified.
I will
stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens.
I'm back to life. Hear a song awaken, all creation singing, we're alive, 'cause you're alive. You call me out of the grave, you call me into the light, you call my name and then my heart came alive. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens. What a love we found, death can't hold us down. We shout it out, 'cause you're alive. What a love we found, death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, you're alive. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me.
Awesome. Hey, give the team a hand. Give the band a hand. Wow. And give yourself a hand. You guys killed it tonight. You guys were so into it. So cool. What are y'all standing up for? You know me too well. Hey, that's what I want you to do. I want you. I was going to say something I shouldn't say. Okay, hi. Anyways, I want you. I changed my mind. So I want you. I don't know what I want you to do tonight. High five. Perfect. Hey, high five all the worship team members. Go for it. Everyone on the worship team, high five them. But don't break anything. Please don't break anything. Tell them thank you. Don't break anything, though. It was a terrible idea.
High five.
You're awesome. Terrible idea. My bad. My bad. There we go. Good job, guys. Okay, so you guys survived. He survived the mountain. He survived the superhero dinner, right? That was awesome. And the night really started to calm down until Reese decided to go crowd surfing and, you know, rally everyone up. And that was pretty awesome, right? That was awesome. You get a, you got a picture or a video of that, right? Of your daughter? Awesome.
For evidence.
Yeah, I love it. I'm going to pray. I love it. I'm going to pray. And then, yeah, Lord. Lord, again, thank you for laughter. Thank you for what we just saw, you know, a couple minutes ago. We had a whole entire room just like excited. Thank you. We all had an awesome day for the most part, and maybe someone here hasn't. And if they didn't, Lord, my hope is just being in this room and seeing the joy of other people can lift their spirit up a little bit. We all have reason to celebrate. We all have reason to give you praise. We all have reason to laugh, even in the midst of the hard times. As we kind of continue on a little bit from the thought from this morning, Lord, as we answer a couple of questions, and we eventually bring Victoria up to share. Just continue to communicate to us, maybe on a different angle, but in the same way you've been all week. Help me a little bit, and help Victoria when she comes up, and she shares her story, which connects with this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So just a super duper quick recap. Today we looked at Luke chapter 15. Everyone say Luke chapter 15.
Luke chapter 15.
Verse 13 to 16. Everyone say 13 to 16.
13 to 16.
And we're walking through the story of the prodigal son. And prodigal, it means basically like wasted resources. And we're looking at this story, and we've been recapping this every day, but today we're going to focus a little bit. And we see the son, for whatever reason, decide to leave the father's house and go live this way of like wild living and go just conform to the culture and just give in to temptation and just kind of do whatever. Maybe he thought this might have led to a more fulfilled life. Maybe he thought that would satisfy him. Maybe he thought he might be more content. And we saw it did not lead to what he thought it was going to lead to. It's no different here in 2018. We have a culture saying, do anything, it's all good, no consequences. But there is. And I think we're seeing that more because you guys are one of the first generation that are really growing up in this postmodern, post-truth, post-Christian culture. And what they don't talk about over the last 15 years, the depression rate of people your age has gone through the roof. They don't talk about how the suicide rate has gone through the roof, people in your age bracket. The amount of people that use antidepressant medications has gone through the roof in the last 15 years. Because you live in a culture that's saying, do anything, it's all good. But we're seeing all over the place, no matter what faith you have, no matter what belief system you have, we see that there's effects and consequences and impact of living this way. Even more so, we realize it's not fulfilling. So maybe there's a few things that we can take out of this person's life, and that's just the reality. And it's not like it's something to scare you, it's just the truth. And I think we all know it. So today, we're going to answer three more questions. Now, you guys sent some amazing questions. Every single day, you've sent amazing questions. Now, some questions have been directly related. You okay? That's okay. If you die, we'll pray for you later. Okay, so... So some of the questions were directly related to the talk. Some of you guys have some really awesome questions, but they were kind of like somewhat detours. And I'm not going to focus on those ones tonight, but like I said every night so far, if you have a question that's not answered, come up to me and ask me. Or get your cabin leader to say, hey, Mike, come join our cabin discussion time tomorrow or whatever it's going to be, and I'll do my best to answer. Cool?
Cool.
So here are the three that came up. These ones are going to be a little bit shorter for the most part. Number one, please. Are the 70% of people walking away from church or God? So remember I said, people who are raised in the church. All the studies, the Canadian stats, have shown 70% by the time you're 22. It's about when the time you're done university college. About 70% have walked away. So I think this is more like a clarification type question. Now this kind of has like a weird, deeper answer because I think the answer is yes to both of them. But on different levels. So had they walked away from the church, and these stats show 100%, yes. That the 70% have walked out of the church. Now, had they walked away from God, and that's where it gets a little bit of a gray area. I think some of this research is showing, well, I shouldn't say I think, I know some of this research is showing, that not everyone completely walking away from their belief system and their foundation of Christianity. So they walk away from the church and they might say, yeah, I still believe that there's Jesus. I still believe in the Holy Spirit. I still believe in God. I believe that stuff. But they turned away from following him. And they've turned away from walking a life as a disciple, walking in obedience. They turn away from the Bible. They turn away from his way of doing life that he called us all to live. And I think in many cases, you can say, yeah, someone turned away from God. Because you either have a choice. You follow God or not. So deep down, especially with the people I work with, we have these 400 people with our young professional ministry in that 22 to 30 bracket. And most of them say I got some sort of Christian belief and foundation. But they've disconnected from God, part of the following part of God, the loving part of God, the prayer part of God, the reading the Bible part of God, the fellowship part of God, and as a result, have also left the church. So maybe it's a little clarity there. Next question, please. Hey, maybe you guys can read it out loud. One, two, three, ready, read.
How do we make sure we don't turn away
from it? Which is a good question, because the question we just had, have we seen a lot of people turning away from it? And I think there's many answers. This sounds cliche. Read the Bible. The Bible is very clear. That's where our faith comes from. That's where our faith grows. That's why we take hold of this faith. And the Bible, it's not just some random book they found. The Bible, this is like God literally speaking to us. And it's been documented, it's been different writers for years and years and years. And the Bible's made up of 60 books, and I think it's 40 different writers. Over the course of, I don't know, like, you know, I think 3,500 years, give or take. But over and over, this is God using people who are inspired by him, who have eyewitness accounts or firsthand information, how to share the word of God. This is God speaking. So I know it sounds silly, but read the Bible. I noticed one of the trends is people, when they start taking their eyes off the word of God and who God is and fixing it on maybe the culture, that's when their mind starts to change a little bit. How else do you make sure you don't walk away from your faith? I'm a big believer in community. I'm a big believer in hanging out and spending time with people of the same kind of morals and values and faith that you have. And I think if you surround yourself with Christians who maybe think the same way, maybe following God the same way you are, it doesn't mean we're perfect. I think that goes a long way of you keeping on track and fixing your eyes on Jesus. Now, what begins to happen, and one of the many reasons why we see people walk away, is when they go to university and college, all of a sudden that youth group that they had, or that camp that they had, and they surrounded themselves with other Christians, that community is no longer there. And they surround themselves with other people, with other worldviews, and other different ideas, and other beliefs, and maybe this whole postmodern living where do whatever you want, it doesn't matter. And that draws people away. Or maybe when you work. And many people here, you probably have a full-time job, maybe some of the older people. And the reality is, look at the five closest people to you in your own office. And the reality is, maybe many of them, or if not all of them, have no background in Jesus. They aren't following him. Which I think even more important, why you need to get involved in a local church. That keeps our faith strong. Doesn't keep it perfect, but at least give us a spot where we know, listen, like, I belong here. And I don't feel like an outcast. Make sure you don't turn away from faith. How do you do that? I don't know. Pray. Ask God for strength. Rely on the Holy Spirit. And if you have a question about the Holy Spirit, come talk to me. That's a deep conversation right there. One of the big things that are coming out is a new wave of research that should be coming out in the fall. The hemorrhaging faith. That's the one that kind of came up with these stats. Like I said, I'm blessed to be kind of on the front line of some of this research and trying to gather this. And what they're actually saying is people, when they go through youth ministry in your age bracket, typically you might have a small group leader or a volunteer or someone who's walking with you on maybe a personal level. And the research that they've gathered over the last 4 years since the last study shows if that mentor type figure, if they continue mentoring that person 2 months into their university college life, so about a couple months after they finish high school, they say the success rate that they've seen in Canada, it goes from losing 70% to about 80% actually making it through university college following Jesus. If that person just sticks for 2 more months in September and October, they'll help them getting connected to a local church or a local group or whatever it is in their local school. Get a mentor. Get someone to walk with you. Get someone to keep you accountable. Get someone to ask you those hard questions. It gets us thinking. I think there's many, many, many ways, but for me, I think being in a community plays a huge part in all of those things. One more question, and then we have an awesome person coming up to do their testimony. One, two, three, ready, read.
How can we avoid temptation?
So a lot of questions that you guys gave, kind of connected to this. You may have worded it a little bit differently, but I kind of pool them all together is essentially what was asked. Now, how do you avoid temptation? In many ways, I don't think you can, but in some ways, I think you can. Make sense? Does it actually? You guys are like, I don't know. For example, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it's very clear, God says you are not going to be tempted. First of all, God didn't tempt anybody. The enemy does the tempting and the lying and trying to deceive us and trying to pull us away from God. But it says you will not be tempted beyond measure. And it goes on and says anytime you are tempted, there's always a way out. In other words, it's not a conclusion that you're going to give in to that temptation every single time. I think there's ways, maybe not to avoid it, but ways not to fall into it. For example, I'm a big believer when we look at the Bible. I am a big believer in waiting until you're married until you have sex. I believe that for many reasons and for the Bible's sake, but even when you put the Bible aside, I think if you actually study even the psychology and some of the things that happen in there, in that kind of world, when you go from one person to another, like even you look at, put the Bible aside for a second, I'm still 100% a believer in waiting until you get married. Do some research. Now, obviously, when you start dating someone, for example, I've been with my fiance for 3 years, and I'm hot. Let's look at me. You know what I mean? Like, she, man, she just can't keep her hands off me. And I'm like, no, just wait, okay? I was like, I think you're joking. I might tell a story about her on Thursday. We'll find out. But let's be honest here. When you love someone, for example, I'm going to make it personal. There's a physical attraction. Now, there's certain temptation maybe you can't avoid in a sense of like, oh man, like I just can't wait. But doesn't mean you give in to those temptations. And we are very wise of setting many, many, many boundaries. So when the temptation starts to happen, we set those boundaries so we won't fall into those temptations. And I believe God has given us a way out of those temptations. If you are dating someone, this is just one of many, many examples, and you think that ball starts rolling, like pick up your phone and like FaceTime your mom. You know, that'll like kill the mood right there, okay? Let's just be honest here, okay? But seriously, or walk out of the room. There are many, many, many different ways. God gives you a way out. There's a prayer, and we see this prayer in Matthew chapter 6, what we call the Lord's Prayer. And as God is directing our path, says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from this evil. So pray that prayer. God, don't lead me into these, you know, traps. Don't let the enemy kind of capture me here and put me in this situation. There's ways out. Luke 22, it talks about how we can pray. And we pray that we have the strength that we don't fall, that we don't give in to the temptation. There are many things that we can do. But I tell you right now, I'm not sure if there's a way just to have all temptations stop, because there is an enemy of trying to do everything he can, like turn us away from God to live this way. Which is why I think it's so important to continue to fix your eyes on Jesus, why it's so important to have that community, why it's so important to have that mentor-type figure in your life. They can help you. Make sense? If you have more questions, come ask me. But going on the train of thought, when we look at the prodigal son and kind of leaving home and living this wild life, we have the awesome Victoria, who's going to be joining us. Everyone make some noise for Victoria. Make her feel super duper welcome. Make her feel, oh, I forgot something. We'll do that after. So, give Victoria a hand one more time. Let her know she's loved. You ready?
All right.
Here you go.
Yeah, awesome. Okay. Going to move this quickly. I'm sorry, worship team. I need it, though. And I'm not that tall, so. Okay. All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Victoria. Can you hear me? Thumbs up. Thumbs up? Awesome. I'm not too loud and annoying. That's perfect. Okay. So I'm going to quickly give you a quick introduction to my life. Today I'm just going to share a little bit of my life story to all of you. I grew up in a really supportive home. My parents were like, I would call lax Christians, as in they wanted me to find a youth group and they wanted me to go to camp and they wanted me to learn about God. yet they didn't go to church. And that was really rough in the way that they did not help me with my journey towards God. And they didn't do anything that a parent should equip their kid in life the Lord way. So the way I was raised is that if you work hard, you will get everything you would like. So if you work hard enough in life, they taught me that, you know, you'll probably receive it. So that's how I was. I worked hard for everything I had, and I worked as hard as I could. But the thing is, obviously, there's a flaw in this thinking. So the first flaw is about in grade 7. I had a teacher who didn't really like me. Maybe I talked too much in class. Don't really know. But here's the thing. She didn't like me, and therefore she pinned me that she thought I had a learning disability. So she made me go to this weird person who asked me way too many questions, made me way too tired, so that she could determine whether or not I had a learning disability. Fun thing, I don't. So after this, she made me drop, well, my self-esteem was so low that I dropped out of my French immersion and separated from all my friends. And I remember in grade 7, I was on a vacation in Hawaii with my parents for the first time, and I remember crying to the Lord. Lord, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I've worked so hard, yet this is happening. And the Lord answered my prayers, and he made the transition easy. But after that, I forgot about how easy the Lord made my transition, and I vowed from that second forward, I would work as hard as I could in life. So in my high school career and onwards, I got high 80s and low 90s to prove that teacher wrong. And this did fulfill me for a bit, but not forever. And this kind of thinking gave me something to do. It was motivate me. I would study 24/7. I would keep doing things until I had it right. I would rewrite papers and rewrite papers. And after a while, I got good at it. So after that, that wasn't enough for me. That it didn't fill the hole inside me. So after that, I was so insecure, and I didn't feel like anyone liked me. I didn't feel like I was funny enough, good enough, smart enough, etc. So I thought that, you know what? Do you know what's going to fulfill me? If I go in the popular crowd at school. So I thought that if I went in the popular crowd, and that if people gave me that satisfaction, I would feel loved. And you know what? For a bit, I felt loved. I got invited to the cool things no one else got to go to. Everyone said hi to me in the hallways. Hey, Victoria, what's up? And you know what? For a while, it felt good until everything turned. Those group of kids became so plastic and so mean to others that I felt I lost grasp of myself. And that really sucks. So I decided to leave that group of friends and try something new. Now, my new group of friends were well-known as well, so I didn't feel like I lost that popularity part of me. So I still felt really fulfilled. But then again, that wasn't enough. So grade 11, I meet my boyfriend. And he's a great guy. But the thing is, I started using his love to fulfill God's love. And that's not too good either. So with his love, I felt loved. I felt smart. I felt amazing. And all that made me feel so good. And so grade 12 is winding down. My grades aren't there anymore. My popularity is coming low, and my life is starting to crash. I started getting panic attacks, depression, and negative thoughts. So my parents decided to send me to a psychologist. Lo and behold, all those thoughts that I had when I was younger and leading till now, I was diagnosed with anxiety disorder and ADHD. But you know what? At the time, I felt terrible. I felt, Lord, I don't understand. You've given me a life sentence. I can never change the way I think or the way I am. And I was so hurt and so angry, and I turned away from the Lord. Because in my head, even though I didn't, I thought I did everything. I went to church, I went to youth group, I helped homeless, etc., etc., etc. I filled my resume and my checklist that I thought would make the Lord happy. But the truth was, I didn't do it for him, I did it for me. Because these things made me feel good. So at the end of the day, I started, as I said, I became angry, all these things. So who did I lean on because I was angry at God? Leaned on my boyfriend. Not good for a relationship, pro tip. So anyways, I basically was like, I was like, you need to fix me. You need to fix my hurt. You need to fix my pain. And I was very needy. You don't want that. Never in a girlfriend. So anyways, I decided that he was going to do all these things, but this led to many fights and resentments, and things just split, so we ended up splitting up. However, this led me to have nothing. I had no more grades, no more boyfriend, and no more popularity. So this led to the summer, and in the summer, I was very low. I had nothing left that I cherished anymore, and that's when I felt that I could turn towards God, because I had nothing, nothing. So I turned towards the Lord, and Steve Swadling reached out and invited me and a bunch of other people to be in the Dusty Feet program. And I really needed that program at the time. That program taught me to do many things, but it taught me that a lot of stories in David. Basically, one of the stories we read was, don't throw spears and dodge them when they come at you. And I was really good at throwing spears. So anyways, long story short, I started doing things like going out on walks and meditating and praying to the Lord. And things started becoming a little better. And through my anxiety and everything, the Lord started blessing me with gifts. And at the end of the day, I started forgetting that I even had it. And I started to think, wow, what a blessing that with my anxiety, I am so caring and I can help so many other people struggling. And even though I didn't come from a broken home, I was always a good kid. I obeyed my parents. I loved them. And I did everything. I was in leadership. I was an athlete. I did everything. From the outside, my life looked perfect. And you know what? Sometimes the people who look perfect on the outside were the most broken, because I was a very broken person. So at the end of the day, after my many months, I started learning that God loved me, and the things that I had learned since I was 9 years old and I first became a Christian, I started understanding them. And pretty much before I wrap up my story, I would just like to share a quick verse from Matthew. And it's Matthew 6, 24 to 36. If you have your Bible, read it. If not, there we go. Okay. So 1, 2, 3, ready, read.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or weep or store away in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grasses of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much clothe you? You of little faith. So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry for itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own. Thank you guys so much.
Hey, thank you, Victoria. That's awesome. Give her a hand. Thank you. That's really powerful and really awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Don't fall. Good job. Hey, I appreciate it. Give her a hand one more time. Thanks, Victoria. And like I said, every night we're going to have someone come up and share a little bit of their story that connect with what's happening earlier in the day. And I kind of want to wrap up on one thing. I'm going to throw one more extra thing on the screen real quick. But I want you to know, maybe we talk about things today. Maybe in some way, shape, or form, you identify with the prodigal son. Maybe. I identify with him sometimes. Maybe you identify with, you know, that consequence where you're like, oh, I did not know it was going to turn out this way. And maybe as a result, there's guilt, or results of kind of like resentment. Or maybe you realize this didn't fulfill me. And I'm hurting, I'm broken, I'm hopeless, I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm at rock bottom. I feel like I just hit the ground. If that's you, I want you to know where you are, God still loves you. That's hard for us to understand because we live in a culture where love is conditional. But with God, it's unconditional. And if that is you, I think later tonight we're going to have an opportunity to connect with our cabins. And, you know, if you need prayer, like, I really encourage you. Hang out and get someone to pray for you. I'll pray for you. Leaders will pray for you. Your cabin leader will pray for you. Like, the worship team's down to pray with you. But taking advantage of that. Cool?
Cool.
I got one more thing to throw on screen. This is like an extra thing that someone shared. And actually came up on maybe like two or three cabins. 1, 2, 3, ready, read. So a few people wrote something along this line that kind of, you know, used one of them. I feel the things I have done are too bad and the church won't accept me. And a little preview for tomorrow, we're going to focus on that. But in this moment, not to jump the gun, but if the church, which is full of humans, if they don't accept you, it doesn't mean God doesn't accept you also. I want you to know that. We're going to talk about that a little bit deeper tomorrow. But if that's where you are sitting here right now, feeling like I'm not accepted, like you are, that's the beautiful part about God's grace. I'm going to pray. We'll bring the worship team back up. And yeah, we'll see what happens after that. Lord, thank you for Victoria and her story and being willing to come and share with us. And she shared truth. And again, it's something that we all need that reminder of. When we look at that stat, about 70% who walk away from you, who walk away from the church, who walk away from following. I don't think any one of that 70% when they were like 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, I don't think any single one of them would have thought that they would be that 70%. Maybe it's the same for everyone in this room, but the reality is following you in this culture is hard. I believe it's getting harder and harder. So thank you for every person who's sitting here, even in making a choice to come to camp. That kind of goes against the grain of the culture. So thank you for that. And maybe today, someone maybe found themselves in that prodigal son story and identify with that way of life. And let them know that they are so loved and that they are accepted here, but they are accepted by you. And you never stop loving them. And in their brokenness, in their pain, and maybe the impact of the negative effects that came out of it, my hope is they know that they can turn to you. That in this room, they got leaders they can talk to, trust the leaders they can vent to. That they can process this with, but also be prayed for and be loved. So thank you for every leader who's sitting here right now who stepped up to the plate and being willing to be put in that spot to love these young people. And I pray that we can take an advantage of them in a good way. But speak to the broken. Speak to the people who are searching. Speak to the people who maybe lost hope along the way. Just let them know the truth. Let them know that you love them. Let them know of your mercies and your grace. Let them be reminded of what you did so that we can be forgiven. Remind us of what your son Jesus did so that we can live. I believe everyone who's sitting here is looking for that life, looking to truly be alive. That comes through following you. Just show us that tonight. Remind us of that tonight. Let us take hold of that truth. And never forget it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't you stand as we'll sing?
Brought me and know his love for me. Thank you.
we stand here in this moment of confessing God's goodness, I encourage you right now to take a posture of standing with your arms open, or sitting, or a way to receive this word I'm about to read from Psalm 139. Receive this with an attitude of prayer. For God is speaking to you right now. He's speaking to all of us. And though we've been speaking to him about his resurrection power, he's stirring in us this truth. So we pray, God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there, then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You'd already be there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact, darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Consider dark places you've been, campers. God is with you. Oh yes, you shape me. First inside, then out. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I'm marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I even lived one day. Young people, your lives are not accidents. No matter the circumstances of how you came about, God saw you and sees you. We read on, your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful, God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sand on the sea. Oh, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. And please, God, do away with wickedness for good. And you murderers out of here, all the men and women who belittle you, God, infatuated with cheap God imitations, see how I hate those who hate you, God. See how I loathe all the godless arrogance. I hate it with pure, unadulterated hatred. Your enemies are my enemies. So as we go into this final song tonight, I encourage you to consider these words. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross, examine, and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. So as we sing this last song tonight, feel free to take a posture of sitting, of standing. But whatever you do with the outside of your body, may your heart say to the Lord, search me and know me, and lead me in your ways.
Let's sing the last verse of that last song.
Tomb where soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the grave.
Yeah.
breath he gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. The battle in the grave, war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake.
Confess that together, and to declare that Jesus is alive is a pretty amazing confession. when we raise our eyes and meet the eyes of Christ, we see one who suffered, one who died, one who rose and is still rising, is alive. That means he's here. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ is present with us right here, right now. And if you're ready to open up your heart and say, can you put to death the suffering, the pain that I've been carrying and raise me to new life? Jesus, can you do that? And open your heart to him in that way tonight, then do. If there's burdens you're carrying and say, Christ, can you take these burdens from me and give me your freedom? He says, yes, I can. Can he see your sin and still love you and free you from it? Yes. Yes, he can. Can he be present with you because he is alive today, no matter what you're going through? Yes, he is. So this is an opportunity as we close our time in chapel. If there's something on your mind and is stirring that says, you know what, I do want to share my burden with someone and pray and meet Jesus here in whatever way you need to meet him, then stay and do that. If you're ready to move back to your cabin to close the night and get ready for bed, then do so quietly, but of course, you're more than welcome. The chapel will be a place for prayer and a calm sense. And so thank you for opening your heart and declaring together God's goodness and that Jesus is risen. So let's continue to meet him here. Good night.